What's going on, my friends? Tony Stuffin here, back with another episode of the School Success Podcast. And today I'm joined by a very, very special guest. Someone I'm very excited to have here who is a business coach, an Instagram expert, used to be a very well-off food blogger, Carla Bessinger. Did I say it right, Carla? I was trying. Did I say it right?
It's close enough. Thank you.
No, I did it. How do you say it right?
It's Bessinger.
Bessinger. See, if I would have just rolled with it and didn't think, I would have nailed it. But Carla Bessinger, Carla, thank you so much for being here and taking the time to do this. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you for the amazing introduction and for having me. I'm super excited to chat with you today.
And you're currently in New York City, correct? But you also spend a lot of time in Germany, correct?
So I grew up in Germany. I have since lived kind of all over the place, and I'm now spending the summers in Europe, the winters in Australia, and in between, I'm in New York.
Not too shabby. If I do say so myself, not too darn shabby. I'm sure a lot of people would love that type of living schedule.
I can't complain. It's really kind of my ideal lifestyle that I've always dreamed about. The only problem is I need more friends who are nomads as well. So it's not just me traveling on my own all the time. So I need to convert more people if you want to be next.
Totally. I do. I have to convince my wife. That's the only thing. I'd love to just ask about that. Like, do you stay in like Airbnbs? Probably not Airbnbs, but you probably like, do you rent multiple locations? Do you own in each place? How's that work?
Yeah, so I'm actually pretty lucky that I have amazing friends in these locations. So my best friend lives in Australia. That's where I went to school. She's still there. When I go there, I stay with her. In New York, I have a friend who usually does Airbnb. And when I'm here, she kind of gets a break and she gets to hang out with me. So I'm pretty grateful for that. And then in Germany, I have my family who's happy to see me every now and then.
Gotcha. Perfect. Those are great friends to have all over there. So obviously, if you're able to travel like that, you are doing pretty successful in your life and your business. So I would love just, you know, when we talked maybe a few weeks ago, I got to hear your story and it was a truly amazing story. So I'd love just for you to share a little bit more about what you do, because you're involved in a lot as an entrepreneur. So what you do now, but like what it took to get you to where you are today.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And it's actually kind of crazy because I completely started over about 2 years ago. So I kind of call myself an accidental entrepreneur. I really didn't set out with the goal of working for myself. I went to school in Australia. I studied marketing and public relations. And once I finished school, I got a job at PricewaterhouseCoopers. And I really only had a corporate career of about 12 months. I kind of wanted to go on an adventure. And so I moved to Buenos Aires, Argentina, just to learn Spanish, to do an internship. And as life happens, I met a guy, fell in love, and we started a restaurant together. So he's actually from England. We're not together anymore, but it kind of, yeah, I fell into it. We started running dinners from our living room, basically. It was the two of us and his best friend, who's a chef from Thailand. And in Argentina, they have this concept called puertas cerradas, which basically means closed door. And so basically, people open up their homes, have people over for dinner, charge them. It's all completely illegal, obviously, but yeah, it's just the way it works there. And that's how we started. So we made it up to number one on TripAdvisor. We were putting on a dinner experience for tourists, kind of showcasing the best of Argentine cuisine and culture in a really fun and interactive way. Mm. And about a year in, we got approached by an investor who wanted to kind of make this whole thing legal and turn it into a much bigger thing. And so we did. He was at the time Argentina's number one poker player. Mm. Had no idea about doing business. We were kind of three friends who, you know, just started this project. And all of a sudden we had this amazing two-story restaurant on the best corner in Buenos Aires. And we had no idea how to fill it. So the first couple of years were extremely hard, you know, working 7 days a week, 14-hour days, pretty much nonstop. And that kind of was the point where things changed, because to me, we started the project with the idea of living a life that was totally different and exciting, and where we had the freedom to travel the world. And then there we were, basically just working our ass off without seeing any income, really. All the money we were gaining, we were putting back into the restaurant. We were in debt by thousands and thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And we had no freedom. We had no time. Our relationship obviously suffered. So in the end, I basically decided to leave and leave everything behind. I was there for 5 years, and I just knew that it wasn't the way it was. I wasn't going to be happy there. So when I was 29, I moved back in with my mom. I had absolutely nothing to my name. I had no money. Like I said, we were in debt. The company was finally starting to make money, but we still had all this debt that we had to pay off. And I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And I kind of started taking online courses because I had an idea to maybe sell a product online. Like I had this vision of, okay, if I want to do something on my own, I want to be able to really live the life that I want to live, to travel and to have the freedom and the flexibility to work anywhere I want to. And I started taking online courses and learning more about social media. And I don't know, I kind of one day decided, you know what, I think I can create an online course too. And that's how it started. I basically set up an Instagram account. I had never used Instagram, like personally or professionally. I had no idea what I was doing, and I just kind of started playing around with it. I love the visual, that it's a visual platform. I've always been into food photography and just love looking at food porn. And somehow, I guess I was doing things right, and my Instagram account grew to over 10,000 followers in the first 6 months.
Wow.
And I started noticing how all these other people I was connecting with wanted to learn about Instagram and how to grow their following. And so I basically saw the need for this course. And that's how I created my very first course, which is Instagram Secrets to Success, my signature course all about Instagram.
That's crazy. That's such a crazy story. Cause like, even when I first saw your Instagram, which I completely agree, it's very aesthetic. It's very visually appealing. It's very beautiful. And I was like, man, this woman must have been doing this for forever. And like, this must be always her thing. I think that's the coolest thing. And that's why I love so much about the opportunity with getting to have this podcast and speak to so many successful entrepreneurs is you don't get that backstory. Like you don't realize, like you said, at 29, after having a thriving business, which it was thriving externally, but internally it was like imploding within itself, which I've heard is very normal with restaurants. Like the first few, you know, months or even years, you have to get profitable and throw a lot of money back into it, which is the beautiful thing of online coaching and online courses, right? Which we'll talk about. No such thing as overhead, right? Like your rent or your mortgage, whatever. But you would see like, you know, oh, like Carla must always have been successful. This must have always been easy to her. And like you said, 29, you started over and you reviewed things, you learned things, you put things out there. And then you're like, I just took action. And that's what I love the most. You're like, I didn't wait. I didn't get like, no one gave you permission, right? No one's like, you know, Carla, I think you're going to be a very successful Instagram coach and business coach. Here's permission. Like, here's like your golden slip of paper. No, you just went out and did it.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's amazing to kind of look back. And that was, like I said, just over 2 years ago. And when I started this Instagram account, I just had no idea the opportunities it would provide me. I have, you know, obviously grown my business basically through Instagram. I have built incredible friendships all over the world with people who I've met on Instagram. Instagram is how I connect with clients. I have worked with brands who pay me to post about their products. I've been invited to conferences and online summits and all of these things, all because of this platform. It's in such a short period of time as well. So it's truly mind-blowing how this platform really works, and how also I think, yes, I kind of grew quickly, but it's not just about the number of followers you have. It's really what you do with the connections you build on Instagram And yeah, it's about building relationships, and that can lead to so much more than just a follow back.
So let's talk about that, because I mean, we were on your Instagram live and we were talking about this very similar topic. But I think a huge impediment for people who maybe aren't as quick of an action taker as you are to getting started with their coaching, with their product, with their, you know, service, whatever they want to offer is, well, I don't have a lot of followers. I only have 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 followers. So no one's going to buy from me. And sounds like that's not the case. Can you explain more about that?
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, it's definitely quality over quantity. With the smaller accounts, what we see, and we call them micro influencers, right, is that their following is actually so much more engaged than accounts that have hundreds of thousands of following. Like the engagement rate is so much higher with these smaller accounts because they're able to spend more time connecting with their followers. You know, they're really active because they're trying to grow actively. And so someone who already has hundreds of thousands of followers, yeah, people follow them along, but often they don't even engage with their followers. They don't follow back. I just had a call with a client earlier who said, you know, I follow these big accounts and they sometimes reply to my comments, but they never even follow back. I think it's kind of rude.
Yeah.
And I agree. So it's all about making connections and building relationships. And I mean, how many clients do you need in order to hit your financial, your income goal per month? Maybe 5, maybe 10?
Sure.
So if you can connect with 5 or 10 ideal clients on Instagram and build a relationship and, you know, identify them as potential clients, invite them to a discovery call, like that's all you need.
Absolutely. I agree. Would you say right now, like in 2018, where we're at, that Instagram is the like best platform for not just like social media, but for like building a business, building a brand, creating engagement, like compared to obviously Facebook, YouTube. I don't even know if Twitter's still a thing or not, but like Twitter, I think Snapchat's pretty much abysmal now with Instagram stories, but like, would you say Instagram has, even though it's the same company, Facebook and Instagram's mm-hmm. like surpassed Facebook in terms of like potential to build something out of nothing.
Totally. I think Instagram, there's no other social media platform like Instagram in a way that you can really build a community around your brand. You grow that know, like, and trust factor on Instagram like you do on no other social media platform because you're showing up every day, because you're using Instagram stories. So your audience is starting to really get to know you. I always encourage my clients to post more photos of themselves in their feed. I work with a lot of registered dietitians, and what they tend to do is kind of hide behind the camera, post photos of food. But if you're a registered dietitian or a personal trainer, whatever it is, people want to get to know who they're going to be working with, right? They don't want to just see your pretty pictures of food. They want to see you. So using photos of yourself, using Instagram stories, using the captions to really spread your message, those are things that build know, like, and trust factor like no other platform. I still use Facebook mainly for Facebook ads, and I use Instagram ads as well to just kind of grow my list, but my Facebook page is dead. I don't even know who follows me on there. So
sure.
All platforms have kind of their benefits. Pinterest is great for driving traffic, but when it comes to building community, building know, like, and trust, and building relationships, I think Instagram is where it's at.
I couldn't agree anymore. And like I said, we have the benefit of just having this like very similar conversation about 2 days ago. But with what Instagram has now of the, like you said, the stories, the ability to literally post a box in a story and say, hey, if you have a question, just type it in here. It's mm-hmm. anonymous. Like, I will answer it, but no one will know you asked it. Like the coach or the end user or like the person who's Instagram, they'll know obviously who asked the question. But that feature, the poll feature of like, hey, do you struggle with this? Do you have a challenge with this? What's your opinion on this? Yes or no? I mean, there's so much. And it's like, if you're not taking advantage of it, you're just missing out. You're missing out on so much. Why do you think Let me ask you this. What do you think is a big impediment or like challenge for people with getting started with this? Or an even better way of phrasing that is, what do you see the big, what are the biggest mistakes most people make with Instagram when building a brand, building a business, whether it's a dietitian, a coach, a food blogger, because I know you work with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. What are the biggest mistakes you see most people making early on?
So I kind of like to break it down into three steps. So you need, Instagram is a visual platform, so you need to have a visual strategy, right? Which are your posts. You need to create beautiful content that speaks to your audience. You need to create a beautiful feed that converts visitors into followers. A lot of people struggle with content creation. I'm not a photographer either. I don't have an Insta boyfriend or anything like that. But there are other ways around this. So you can work with a photographer, for example. You can use stock photography. You can feature other people's content. You can take amazing photography courses if you want to really post your own photos and get better at creating your own content. I think you have to just be smart about how you invest your time. And but there's so many different ways you can create beautiful content that doesn't have to take a lot of time or cost any money at all. So that's kind of number one. Step two is your caption strategy or your content strategy. And kind of Instagram stories falls into that as well. It's really, how are you going to share your message? How are you using your captions or your Instagram stories to connect with your audience? How do you create engagement? So one of the things I found that makes a huge difference when I write my captions, I actually usually start by posting a question. Then I kind of go in and, you know, write my blurb, and then I repeat the question. So just by addressing my audience in that very first sentence that they see, by using the word you, it speaks to them in a completely different way, and it engages them in a completely different way than when I'm just always talking about myself.
Love that. I love that so much. Cause when most people don't realize, when you pose a question, people have to stop and answer it in their head. Like, what do you do with this? Or do you struggle with this? And people have to stop and like, as they read and say, oh yeah, I do. And then it kind of like, it's kind of almost like email copywriting. Like the mm-hmm. headline gets them to open the email, and then the first sentence gets them to read the second sentence. So
exactly.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. What's the third step?
And then the third step is obviously, you know, how are you going to grow your following? How are you actively going to connect more people? How are you going to drive more traffic to your feed? But if you don't have a consistent theme and attracting your audience with your posts visually, and if you don't have anything of interest, like anything interesting to say in your captions, then you can go out there and you can follow 1,000 accounts. They're going to check out your profile. And if your feed's a mess, if your bio doesn't speak to them, they're not going to follow you. So you kind of have to have those first two steps really down. You have to remember that the content you're creating is really for your audience. So every single post you put out there, really treat it as data. Look at what kind of posts are performing better than others. Analyze why that is, and then create more of those posts.
I love that. I love what you said. Utilize every post as data, mm-hmm. And to be able to monitor it. And again, I think that just goes to being an entrepreneur. And being an entrepreneur, there's no certainty, right? It's so much unknown. And it's like, I'm sure this has maybe even happened to you, but I know for me, I've like made a post or a video or a blog post, whatever. And I'm like, this is freaking brilliant. This is going to go viral. This is amazing. People are going to love this. And it's like crickets. Yep. And then I put something out there. I'm like, all right, this is whatever. And it's done extremely well. So you have to use failure as feedback. You have to use every little post and like be able to gather information. And that's what like, I think deters so many people is they'll be like, well, I posted something and it didn't work out, so everyone hates me and you know I'm not good at this. It's like, no, you realize now what doesn't resonate, so you get a one step closer to finding what does resonate with your clients. When you said a messy feed or like an unorganized feed and like, mm-hmm. you know, people hit your page, they see your top six and they're like, no, I'm out of here. What like, can you explain that a little bit more? Like, can you give an example of what an unorganized feed would be versus what like someone should be doing?
Sure. And the way I like to talk about feeds and talk about, you know, basically there's these two terms. There's your feed and then there's your theme. So you want to create your own theme, which is basically, you know, your own online magazine. Some people like to call it that. And it basically just tells your story of who you are. So when someone comes to your profile for the very first time, they look at those first six pictures and they kind of get an impression of what your account is about, and they decide within seconds if they want to follow you or not. So you really want to have a certain focus. And I like to get my clients to just kind of look at their feed and think about, okay, what is the main focus of my account? What is the main category? And what are some of the subcategories? So I started out with a food account. I came to a point where I just really didn't identify with my own feed anymore because I was reposting a lot of other people's content. There was nothing about myself in my feed and it just wasn't doing it for me anymore. So I slowly started putting in more photos of myself. So now I have two categories. I have food because that's still the content that my audience loves. I know when I post a pink smoothie bowl, I'm going to get 1,000 likes for sure. But then I also have photos of myself. I am my brand. I want my audience to get to know me. And so I found out that people actually respond better to photos of me sitting at a restaurant table. So it's still kind of including the food than just photos of me of somewhere random on a street, for example.
Sure.
So it's really up to you to define your focus and to define those categories. And then once you have that, you can kind of go to the next step and think about, okay, how am I going to structure this content in the categories and create my own theme? So is it that I have two categories and they kind of alternate, or do I maybe have three and I do rows? So I have a quote, a photo of food, a photo of me, and I just kind of alternate that way. There's so many different ways, but you just want to kind of create that consistent look and make your feed just visually appealing. Use consistent colors, you know, edit your photos with a consistent filter. Or if you're posting a lot of photos of yourself, there's amazing Lightroom presets that you can buy from bigger bloggers, which I started using recently, and you just pop them and pop your photos into the Lightroom app, put on the preset, and it just looks so much better. So just finding different ways of creating consistency.
I love that. And you said the app you use, because I'm sure that's a question you get all the time. I didn't even think about, because I'm on your Instagram right now on my desktop, which is always funny to look at Instagram on a desktop. And that's what I always have said about yours, is it's so visually appealing. Like, I just want to look at every single photo. I don't even eat smoothie bowls, but I just want to like read all about these pink smoothie bowls. It's so good. It's so visually appealing. So you said you like to use Lightroom, and then you can, so someone who's just getting started, they could go in there, use the app, and then just purchase, like you said, preset filters and just throw those on your photos.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's obviously 100 different ways you can edit your photos. I like the presets. One of my favorite bloggers, I am actually an affiliate for her presets. I can give you the link to her. She actually even has a free preset. Her account is Mel, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Vandeluys. So M Vandeluys is her account. If sure. you go to her profile, you'll see a link to a free preset. You just download it. You need the Lightroom app, and then you just upload your photos and you do that. Another great app for editing photos is Snapseed, which is a free app. Airbrush is another one if you're using photos of yourself and you just kind of want to, you know, get rid of those wrinkles and stuff.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. And I can definitely take the one that you recommend and link to that in the podcast description.
And then the next step is using an app. I love the app Plan. It's PLANN. And it's basically a visual planner. So you can upload all of the posts you want to post. You can drag and drop them and it kind of previews your feed. So you drag and drop them until you're happy with the way it looks.
Nice.
You can write out your captions. You can schedule the posts. You can even schedule Instagram stories. So that's one app I definitely couldn't live without.
Wow. So it will like go in there. And so even with stories, it will like just up, like if you say, I want this story to hit 9 a.m. on Wednesday, and it will upload that.
So it doesn't post for you. That's the only thing. It sends you a notification when it's time to post.
Okay.
There are a couple of other apps, I think Later and Planoly, they do post for you. So if that's something you want to do, you can look into them. I've kind of been using Plan since day one. So I'm sticking with them, but those other two are great as well.
Perfect. No, that's perfect. That's super helpful. So it just sounds like no matter what, there are just limitless resources out there to help someone get started. And the thing I really like taking away from what you said too is there's no right or wrong way to do this, right? Like there's no like, oh, you must always do this and you must never do that. Besides not give value, I think we would all agree, like you have to give value no matter what. But like, should I post a quote today or should I post? It's like, dude, you got to just put it out there and see what works best for you. And I agree that this is something I've always said too, that people don't buy, when we're talking about like coaching now. So like people don't invest in coaching, they invest in coaches. So it's like, you could be putting out all the best, amazing content in the world, but if no one knows like who you are and they don't feel a bond with you and they don't feel an affinity towards you, you're just saying the same message as everyone else. I say this with dietitians all the time. Like, look, no matter what you say keto, whether you say flexible dieting, whether you say, you know, intuitive eating, we're all preaching very similar things of like eat healthier, you know, take care of yourself. But people are going to invest in the person who's speaking to that message. They are going to buy the coach, not the coaching. So I agree. Like, how do you help people? How do you help your clients who are like nervous to post photos of themselves? How do you help them get over that hump?
I mean, the photos are one thing. I definitely think if you work with a professional photographer, you are going to end up with at least a few photos you like of yourself. It's just something you learn to get more comfortable in front of the camera. I know it's the same with video. The first time I created a video, I actually had a meltdown. And
I think we all have. I think that's normal when you first do it. You're just like, no, this is horrible. And then you're just like, screw it. I'm done. Put it up there.
So you do get better at being in front of the camera. And I think, yes, the photos are one important part, but your message and really what you write about in your captions is so hugely important as well. And it's really about sharing more of your story, sharing more of you. And in the beginning, it definitely feels weird and you're like, well, who cares about this? But your followers really do. And I found that every single time I share a post where I'm being vulnerable and I'm sharing some of my struggles and how I've overcome them, it really connects with my audience. You know, I generally get over 100 comments on each post, and they're not just comments saying great post. They're really like paragraphs, people leaving sentences after sentences. And it shows how much my message resonates with them. And that, again, wasn't something that I was great at in the beginning. You know, there was a lot of like, oh, happy Wednesday, here's a smoothie bowl. And happy Friday, it's raining, so here's another smoothie bowl.
Right.
But you really have to work on your messaging and figure out, okay, something I like to do with my clients is I get them to tell me three stories about their life that led them to where they are today. And I kind of pick up on things and pull things out that they probably didn't realize what's special about them or what's different about them. Mm. And then we kind of put together these different categories of topics that they can write about where we think, okay, how could this resonate with your audience? You know, what about this makes you unique? How can you write about this story in a way of being vulnerable and being real, but still positioning yourself as an expert? That's one of the things I think you always want to, and it can be difficult on Instagram because, you know, maybe you're having a bad day and you just want to write a caption and saying like, oh, my life sucks, but you always want to talk about the shitstorm once it's passed, right? You don't want to really
love that
when it's like going on.
Oh, I love that. And I couldn't agree more. Like, if you're going to help someone through something, you yourself have to conquer it yourself, mm-hmm. right? Like, no one wants to go to the business coach who is failing and like can't, you know, pay their bills and like never built a business. No one wants to go to the, coach or personal trainer or whatever, who's like extremely unhealthy and not happy with their own fitness. So
yep.
I agree. Like, we all have past struggles. We all have past journeys, and that's what led us to where we are today. But you can only really speak and teach about things that you yourself have conquered. So I love the idea of what you said of having people, having your clients write out or talk out three stories about their life. And then you're mm-hmm. able to have that expert ear and be able to like extrapolate, you know, points in there. I think I would agree that it's very hard to tell your personal story and your personal journey. But this is a quote from my writing coach, John Romanello. It's the most like fucked up things about us, about like that makes us, that connects to other people. Like, and he is a great example of, he talks about everything that's gone on in his life, about, you know, his depression and about, you know, like battling with like suicidal thoughts and about like his business and about, you know, his, he's like into poly relationships and all that. And he's just open and honest. And this guy is like massive, amazing following. You two would get along really well. But yeah. And I agree. You just have to be able to do that. So it's so hard at first. But I like the tool of what you said, and anyone listening to this could literally do that, right? They could write out three stories in their life and then look at it and say, well, maybe I actually do have something to talk about.
Yeah. What I would recommend, two little tips. I would really sit down with someone and tell them those three stories. So think about, okay, what are three stories that really led me to where I am today? And then tell them to someone else and have them kind of listen and point out what they think is special about the story, because it's so interesting to see what stands out to others. And the second thing I like to do when I, you know, want to write a caption, I don't really know what I'm going to talk about, is I just sit down and I think for a minute, what's something that's going on in my life right now? What happened, you know, yesterday or this past week? What did I learn from it? And how can I relate it back to my audience?
Love that.
Really start to pay more attention to just the stories that are happening in your life every single day. And it's kind of fun.
No, I love that. That's amazing. Do you, so like personally for your create, like how do you, I guess let me phrase it like this. Let's say it's a day that you are just not feeling it. Like you don't have the motivation, you don't have the energy, you don't have the creativity. Like what do you do? How do you help yourself find the creativity again? Or you can even say like on a day you're overly distracted and like, you know, you can't focus. How do you help yourself like gain that clarity and gain that focus and creativity again?
So I have actually learned a very important lesson. On days where I'm just not feeling it, or where I'm just have a million other things going on, I just don't post. And the world is okay. And Instagram is still there the next day. So I feel like we put so much pressure on ourselves that we have to show up every day, and we have to reply to all comments, and we have to engage with X amount of people. And there's this fear of like, oh my God, what if I don't post? Everyone is going to unfollow me. And we put so much pressure on ourselves, and it's this addiction to being on Instagram. And I, you know, for almost 2 years, I posted pretty much every single day, and it's exhausting. And earlier this year, I went on a vacation to Africa, and I was on a safari. I didn't have Wi-Fi, so I basically was just forced to not post and not share any stories and not do anything. And it was, first of all, the most relaxing 3 days of my life. Wow. And I got back and everyone was still there. Everyone understood. Everyone was like, yeah, enjoy the time, and we're going to be here when you get back. So that is, I think, a very important realization. Sometimes I run challenges with my audience where I say, okay, pick a day on the weekend and we're just going to unplug and we're not going on Instagram for 24 hours. Can you do it? The other thing I think, though, yes, we do want to show up consistently. So I do recommend posting roughly every day. I take at least one day a week off myself, usually on the weekend. I find Saturdays are generally the days where I get the least engagement, so I generally don't post on Saturdays. You can write out some of your captions and you can plan out your content in advance. So again, if you're using an app like Plan, you know, you can sit down. It depends how you work and how you like to work. If you want to spend some time on a Monday and maybe just set aside an hour or so and write out 5 captions, then I think that's a great way of just kind of mapping out your content for the week. And then you don't have to worry about it and you just have to go in and post and engage.
Love that. I agree. And I think it's like you said that, and I had to learn that lesson the hard way too, of like, there are some days, especially as an entrepreneur, like a full-time entrepreneur, it's such a demanding creative process, right? Like, cause no matter what, you're producing content, you're helping clients. Like some days you wake up and you just don't have it. And I get that too. And I used to push myself and be like, no, Tony, don't be lazy. No, Tony, like you got to go do all these things. Like the world's going to fall apart if you don't, you know, Instagram's going to fall apart. Everyone's going to unfollow you. The clients are going to like, you know, fire you. And then I learned the hard way, cause it just dug myself deeper and deeper into the hole. And now it's like, I'm like you, when I have a day to where I wake up and I'm not feeling it, which very rarely happens. Like, yeah. We don't make this sound like, oh, like 3 days out of every week, we're just like, nope, not working today because I'm an entrepreneur and I can do that. Like, no, that's not how it works. But if I just have a day to where I'm like really not feeling it, I close my laptop. I don't worry about anything. I push everything over to the next day and I wake up the next day so much more refreshed.
Yeah.
Have you found that with yourself too?
Absolutely. I think it's so important to just take some time to unplug. I struggle with work-life balance myself. So this is something I'm working on this year and just allowing myself to take some time off and that it's okay if I'm not feeling 100% a day, to just not force myself. That was definitely something I've learned. One thing I wanted to mention though, I do keep a note section of in my notes, or like a note in, I don't know what I'm saying.
Like on the iPhone?
On my phone. So whenever I do have a thought or, you know, an idea for a post or for a caption, I just kind of note it down. And so on those days where I feel like I don't have anything to say, I still want to post, I kind of go to that note and pick one of the topics. So that's helped me as well.
Oh, I love that. And I do the same to where it's like, you'll just be out working out or whatever, walking around and you get a good idea. You're not going to stop like in the middle of a store and like write a full blown caption, but you can like create a little idea and put it in a note section. Like you said, just pull that out. I absolutely love that. I find, you know, what's weird. I find that happens to me. Like if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll like get struck by a really good idea. And I hate having my phone out anytime when I'm trying to sleep. But I keep it close enough by my bed to where like, I'll get out of bed and be like, no, I need to write this down, cause I'll lose it in the morning. It's weird how like creative process can kind of happen at random times. I know like, I don't know if you're a runner at all, but like, I know like running or like biking, like anything with bilateral movement. So like both feet at the, you know, boom, 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 boom kind of movement, can stimulate thought process as well. But I think the moral of this is like you said, you have to disconnect when you need it and then it regenerates. Yeah. It regenerates. Here's an interesting question as we're kind of wrapping up here. What's something you see? So obviously you're in like course creation, you're in, you know, coaching, like business coaching, social media coaching, all that. What's something in your field that you see that drives you nuts? Like something you don't like, or something that you see and you're just like, it makes you cringe. And it could be like business coaching, Instagram coaching, you know, anything like that. Like what's something in your field that just drives you nuts?
Oh, interesting question. And actually, I tend to generally focus on the positive.
Sure.
And I think that is actually, I had to think about this for a second because I tend to not go into negative thoughts so much. But what drives me nuts is people who just complain and don't take any action, don't seek help, and just are these like negative Nancys who say, you know, everything sucks. And they're not doing anything about it. We all have those days where we feel like nothing is working. We all have failures and we're working on big projects and they don't turn out the way we want to. And we want to just cry and give up. And yeah, it's totally okay to have a cry, but you need to get up and you need to, if you are an entrepreneur, there's going to be hard days. There's going to be days where you feel like getting up. And if you're just sitting around and are being negative about your life and about what happened, you're not going to get anywhere. So that drives me nuts.
I love that. You're like, you know, I'm a positive person. This damn Tony is trying to get me to talk about negative, pessimistic things. What the hell? No, I agree though. And it's so true. And that's, I think there's this and this could be a whole nother talk in itself, but I think there's this such a fake perception about what being an entrepreneur is. And it's because of like marketing, right? Like you go on Facebook and you get bombarded with targeted Facebook ads of do this one trick to make $1 million. And how would you like to work from the beach and, you know, live in a, you know, $1 million mansion and work from home. It's like, yeah, dude, you can do all that. Don't get me wrong. Entrepreneurship is amazing. I would take the challenges I face as an entrepreneur versus any other challenge that I would get working for someone else. But it's the reality of it's all on you, like you said. And there's going to be days where you wake up and there's so much to do and you just don't have it. You know, you're wiped out, you're emotionally exhausted, whatever. And it's the privilege and it's the amazing ability to now, instead of working 8 to 10 hours for someone else and clocking out and coming home and relaxing, of working 10, 8, you know, 12, 16, whatever hours for yourself, and your brain never shuts off. Would you agree? Like when you own a business, your brain doesn't really ever not think about business. And you can do things like safaris and like shut it off, but you're still like cognizant of your business and what's going on with it.
Totally. I think we all have that. It's definitely something I sometimes envy my friends who have a job. Because I feel like I wish I could just go home on a Friday night and then just leave work at work and not think about it. And it's just very rarely the case that that happens.
Totally.
But yeah, I mean, I have moments where I think about, oh, do I really want to do this? And every single time it comes to that point, I look at my life and I have all the freedom, all the flexibility I want. My life is now, you know, it's really exciting and I'm living a life like none of my friends, none of my family. And yeah, I don't want to give that up. So I'm happy to work for it. I'm happy to push through the failures and the difficult days, because I do believe that you have to put in the work. And when you look back, sometimes I'm not a very patient person, so it can be really difficult for me to kind of see the progress. But when you look back at, you know, where you were a year ago and you see everything that you've accomplished, that's kind of what keeps me going. I also have become more strict with myself. So I do take at least one day a weekend off pretty much every week. And yeah, I mean, I love what I do, so it doesn't feel like work.
Love that. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It really doesn't feel like work, because like you said, you love what you do, but at the end of the day, it is still work. It's not this facade of like, oh, I work 1 hour a day and then I lay by the pool and I'm in the jacuzzi with my laptop. Like, no, that's not reality. Okay, so amazing content here. I mean, I took stuff away from this, so I know it's extremely valuable for everyone listening. So thank you for sharing that. So you're on social media, obviously Instagram is your main one. So like, how can people connect with you? And then you have a course, which I was fortunate enough, you sent it over to me. I absolutely loved it. And I wish I had that course when I had started on Instagram, because it could have saved me so many headaches, so many bad photos of my protein ice cream. It could have saved me a lot. So how can people like get connected with that? Or can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So the best way to reach me is on Instagram. If you engage with me, if you leave a comment on my post, I will 100% go and check out your profile. If you follow me, and leave a comment, I will follow you back, because I am all about supporting each other. And so I'm not one of those people who has 20,000 followers and only follows 5. If you send me a DM, I check all of my DMs and message requests every single day. So definitely feel free to reach out. I have a couple of free Instagram courses running that I'm happy to give you the link to as well.
Sure.
Tony. And yeah, my signature course, Instagram Secrets to Success, I'm actually reopening it for enrollment at the end of September. And I'm kind of changing it this time. I'm going to have quite a big live component to it. So I'm going to have 4 Q&A calls. I'm going to do some extra live trainings, and I'm going to have a few guest experts come on and talk about how to, you know, use Instagram really to connect with clients, how to use Instagram to work with brands. Messaging is going to be a huge part again as well. So that's happening in October, the live course. And if people aren't interested in that or, you know, joining at a later time, I will keep the normal course open as well. And I'm happy to throw in a one-on-one coaching session for any of your listeners, if that would be of help. Oh, wow.
That's awesome. You guys better take Carla up on that, because that is, she's a very busy woman. That's extremely valuable. Like I said, every time you and I have just chatted and talked about all this, I've always taken a lot away. And I think, you know, that's why you're so successful, because like you said, you follow people back, you engage with your audience, you answer all your DMs and all your message requests today. You're not afraid to give like freely first, abundantly, and then of course it comes back to you. So Carla's the real deal, my friends. If you're listening to this, and because I know a lot of dietitians listen to this, a lot of personal trainers, coaches, you know, students who, you know, want to grow and do all these cool entrepreneurial things when you come out of school. I mean, when someone's offering you like a free resource or free course or even just a 10-minute chat, you got to take them up on that. You got to take advantage of these resources here. So that's amazing. Thank you so much for that. It's truly appreciated.
My biggest pleasure. I actually love having these chats and getting to know my followers and my clients. So it's fun for me too.
Totally. Well, Carla, you are thebomb.com. That's the saying we have here in Michigan. Thebomb.com. Thank you so much for coming out and spending the time today. Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I look forward to connecting on Instagram, and it's not all about the followers. Just keep doing what you're doing, keep spreading your message, and show yourself in your feed and in your stories.
Perfect. Love that. So everyone listening, I will link to all of Carla's Instagram, all of her resources she sent over, all the things she mentioned. So, you know, go give her a follow. She's a real deal. And Carla, thank you again so much for your time today. This was very great.
Thank you, Tony. That was so much fun. I love hanging out with you.
We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.